Welcome to Jaguars Thursday. Former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli bring you expert insight and analysis of your Jacksonville Jaguars. Now to get things started, here's the host of Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick.
Welcome in, Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. The AFC Wildcard Playoff game coming up this Sunday at Everbank Field, a 1:05 kickoff time. The game presented by Firehouse Subs. Here we go, guys. Playoff football is back in Jacksonville for the first time since the 2000.
I can't wait just to see the atmosphere, to experience the atmosphere, to see this fan base, to celebrate, you know, at a high level again, because it's been too long. It's been way too long.
Long time, Tony. You know, it's tickets sold out in minutes. The city's electric when you drive around and see people now. I mean, this is like the old days again, right?
Yeah, it's great.
How many phone calls have you gotten about tickets?
A lot, but they know better now. I'm like, listen, you're paying for them. You understand that? Like, this is,
you know, no, but I'm just talking about people saying, hey, look, I'll pay for them.
Oh, yeah. I get
but just trying to get them.
Right. Yeah, it's much more difficult.
Yeah. Tough ticket.
It's much more difficult. So it's exciting. I mean, this is why you play. I mean, as players, you play to get into the playoff, to get into the tournament, to have a chance to win it all. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, I was just talking – I was in an interview on the way here, and they were asking about the Hall of Fame, and I said, listen, it would be a great individual honor, but that's not why we play the game.
No.
Play the game to win it all. You play the game to win the Super Bowl and to put a ring on your finger. You know, but you can't do that unless you get into the tournament. And this team's in the tournament. Now you have a chance. And that is cool. And it's cool for the fan base. It's cool for everybody involved. And it's worked out pretty dang well, too. We'll talk about Buffalo here in a second. But, man, you couldn't get a better matchup for your first playoff game.
It's pretty neat that, you know, when you talk to NFL players, you know, about regular season, I mean, you know, it's about the money. I mean, guys are trying to make money,
sure,
et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, and they compare, you know, contracts and how relative is it to, you know, another guy that's playing his position, and they're looking at the future and all that kind of stuff. When it comes to the playoff, and I can honestly say this, and every year that I was in the playoffs, there was never one conversation about a paycheck. Not one. The only thing I think we ever talked about was knowing that if we won,
get another round of,
well, that the paycheck was going to be bigger if you won, and then you had another opportunity, you know, to get another paycheck. But guys, they would play in the playoffs if it were free. I mean, because this is why you play the game, and that's to get an opportunity at winning it all, to say we were the best, period. Nobody else was even in that conversation. College football, I don't know if you can actually have that, that statement.
See, these guys on Monday night try, you know, to go, JP, or Tuesday night try to just, go there.
Just trying
there.
To you know, let you know that, you know.
It's not a real playoff.
Whatever. It's not a real playoff. The NFL is.
You vote for the college
true.
Football.
That's true. You know, By definition, you're right.
It's a beauty contest.
Mm-hmm. Central Florida, JP, I'm just saying.
Oh, they're undefeated.
Yeah. They should be the national champs.
Well, they're making shirts and they're putting a banner up.
They beat Auburn, and Auburn beat Alabama and Georgia.
They're having a parade.
They beat Auburn.
They're having a parade and everything.
They should. They're the national champs. They're my national champs this
Congratulations.
Year.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Go UCF.
That's why the NFL game the Black is so great.
They're just the Knights. That's Army.
Black Knights are Army. Yeah. Let's go Knights. I was the Knights in high school, so that's why I like them so much.
The big storyline this week is LeSean McCoy and his status for the game. Obviously, he's
if
not practiced
he plays,
this week.
It's not going to be good.
If you read between the lines of what he said today, it's not going to be good if he plays.
He's a space back. He's a change of direction guy. He's a make you miss. He's not a downhill power back. And if you have an ankle on that type of player, he's not going to be effective. He's not going to be able to change direction. He's not going to have the acceleration. I see him as a non-factor, which brings me back to after watching tape on him. I have no idea how they score a point without him out there. He leads them in rushing. He leads them in receiving. He is
their offense.
He is the entire offense. With him not on the field, I don't know how they score.
It's not going to be easy. And Mike Tolbert is,
you know, not even close.
He's been a Pro Bowler, but he's been a Pro Bowl fullback.
Yeah, not a featured back.
Okay. Really?
But he's a downhill guy. He's not a wiggle or anything.
You know what? He's got bad body. He's 5'9", 250.
Like looks, JP.
He looks,
speak
I mean,
for yourself,
yeah,
Vasily.
I mean, put some pads on JP, kind of,
oh,
you know.
Stop it, look, both of y'all.
But here, and the other back that they have on the active roster is Marcus Murphy. And he was activated last week from the practice squad, where he had spent, I want to say, 15 weeks on the practice squad of the Buffalo Bills. And he has bounced around some other different teams, and I think he has 8 carries in his NFL career. So, I mean, I'm surprised that if you have an offense that's so running back centric,
you'd have more depth,
that your next option is a fullback. I mean, it's kind of surprising to me. And I know that Buffalo was, you know, they're rebuilding and building to the future and all that. But, man, if you got LeSean McCoy and he's the focus of your offense, you got to have somebody else behind him. If something happens to him, you know, you can kind of keep the train rolling a little bit.
It's they got issues. I mean, offensively, because they got some nice pieces. I like their offensive line. I mean, Richie Incognito is a very good guard. I like Deion Dawkins, the left tackle from college. Was he at Temple?
Yeah,
watch him. I loved him in college.
Athletic.
The tape I've watched, I think for a rookie, he's a good.
He's doing really good.
He's a good left tackle, man.
He's
a guy who's going to be. I mean, he's a good player. So they got some nice pieces. Eric Wood at center.
He's okay.
You know, he is.
He's not as good as what we thought he was.
He's better in name than play.
Yeah.
But he's good. I mean, he's solid guy. So they got some nice pieces. Charles Clay, you like him as a tight end. I mean, you know, they got really young receivers. I mean, the leading receiver is 27 catches. I mean, put that. I mean, that is.
Yeah. Sure.
Ridiculous.
Well,
now Benjamin got there late.
Part of the reason why. I mean, it doesn't matter whether he was there late or not. He wasn't going to get more than 27 balls, not with the quarterback. I mean, Tyrod Taylor's not a wide receiver quarterback.
No, that's what I'm saying, but that's why inept the whole passing game is.
I mean, that's why they benched him earlier in the year. I mean, they didn't bench him because he was great. Okay, they benched him because he wasn't. You know, here's a perfect example. We talk about how dangerous he is when he gets out of the pocket. And that's true, he is, I mean, because he can take off and he can run. And he can extend a play, and all of a sudden somebody gets behind the defense and he chucks it up and they make a big play out of it, remove the chains. But there's so many instances when you watch the film of him, he drops back, clean pocket, there comes a guy.
Around.
There's a guy that's coming open, okay, in the progression.
Yeah, he's
and
dancing.
His eyes don't stay there. His eyes drop. He leaves the pocket, and then it's essentially backyard football. You know, so he's not a quarterback that functions from the pocket. That's just not his style, and that's why the receivers don't have very good numbers, is because he can't deliver the ball to them on a consistent basis.
There's going to be no pressure, and he's going to create a chaotic situation in the pocket.
Yeah. Take off.
He's going to be
here. We go.
He's going to create chaos. Just
and what do we say?
Pressure or not.
What do we say in the Seattle game? You know, it's like chasing the chicken. Yeah. You know, Rocky. I mean, that Tyrod Taylor is good now. I mean, it's, you know, he's like Russell Wilson. You know, so you got to have your chicken chasers on the field.
Takes a lot of sacks, though, too.
Yes, he does. Much more so, more than Russell Wilson did.
There's a question about the Jags' pass rush over the last month or so. I mean, they were on that fantastic pace early in the season. I don't know, the game plan dictates certain things in the pass rush, but have they fallen off a bit in getting to the quarterback? Or what do you think about all that?
Well, here's what you need to know, JP. The Houston game, how many sacks did they have in that game?
Week one?
No. Not the
six
the,
or
the
seven.
Last,
yeah, a handful.
The last one, they had like five, right?
Yeah, I thought it was six, but yeah, whatever.
Five or six. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
San Francisco, did you ever have a lead?
No.
Tennessee, did you ever have a lead?
No. They got, three sacks of Mariota? Right?
Yeah, but those are – but those see, here's – I'll answer it differently.
Yeah.
I don't think the pass rush has been as good as it was in the beginning. I don't see a lot of guys winning one-on-one.
Right, that's where I'm going.
Because if you look at even the sacks of Mariota, the three, those are covered sacks. Now, there's some pressure here or there, but it's not the overwhelming pressure that they had at the first, 10 games of the season. I just haven't seen it.
I disagree. I think the pressure has been there, and I think just the opportunities haven't meshed, you know, with the plays. So, and look, that sometimes happens. I mean, sometimes you have we talked about this prior to season, okay? And we were talking about Yannick Ngakoue, yep. And he had 8 sacks last year. Okay, it was rookie record, and we're like, okay, well, what if he has 8 again? Well, it'd be okay, because if he had 16 opportunities more than he had last year, or 5 or 6 more opportunities, ended up with the same number, it's still a successful year, just because he's, you know, he got pretty much every opportunity that was given to him last year. Mm-hmm. And I think there's been opportunities in the last number of games, but for whatever reason, it hasn't meshed with the rush. You know, plays that the rush is good, okay, the ball's out. Okay, plays that the rush aren't good, quarterback's holding on to the
ball.
That's
my point, though. They're not getting as much pressure.
And I think it's been okay. Here's another thing. I think that you can make the argument. I don't think the coverage has been as good over the last few weeks. I think the pressure's been there. I think the coverage can be better. I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't think it has been as good.
But if you look at the sacks they got in Tennessee, I'd argue that every one of them were coverage sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Every one. So, I mean, that makes sense.
San Francisco, the coverage wasn't great.
Okay, San Francisco was a disaster. Yeah. I agree. But
Seattle, you had breakdowns in coverage.
Mm-hmm. Big place.
You know, so.
They're
good either way. I mean, look, even if it's off a little bit and it's not as good.
We are kind of nitpicking.
We're nitpicking.
It's good. No, that's what I'm saying. They are still a good rush team regardless. They were fabulous, though, in the first half. The question was, did it fall off after the start they had? And the answer is yes. They did not. In the second half, they were winning at will early, and they were dominant. They were one of the lowest blitz percentage teams in the NFL. They'd rush 4, and they'd create havoc. That had slowed down a little bit. Mm. Now, they went from historically to be the greatest pass rush of all time to a very good pass rush. So I'm not saying they're bad by any means. But what it leads to a little bit, and we can talk about it, you know, as we talk about the offense, but I'd ask the same question offensively. Is this the number one rushing team in the NFL? Does it look like it?
Right.
No.
Yeah. Numbers don't tell you everything. We'll come back and get into the offense a bit. We delved into this on Monday night. We'll dig into it a little more. Also, the confidence in the quarterback going into his first playoff start. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
I think that was something that we wanted to be sure that we saw the line of scrimmage move. We wanted to see Leonard get positive yards, especially on contact. And I think that he did that, and so that gave us a good sense of what's to come.
There's Nathaniel Hackett, offensive coordinator this week, discussing the offensive line push on the offensive side. JP Shattered, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Buscelli, Jaguars Thursday.
Yes. And I think it was encouraging to see Fournette, you know, run the ball at Tennessee. I mean, that's a really good defense against the run. I thought he actually ran with some power in some instances, which, you know, we haven't seen. We certainly didn't see that
before
that.
It was a bad day. They ran the ball poorly.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm talking about Leonard Fournette himself showed some signs that he's got some power in his legs, which we haven't seen that.
Well, you saw it especially on the catch and run where he ran over the guy. That's something we haven't seen in a little while, you know?
Okay, great.
Yeah.
They still rushed for 83 yards.
I agree. Well, and nine of those were from the quarterback.
And 9 of those were from the quarterback on a quarterback scramble. And when you had to have when you needed in a game that you needed to run the ball, and they couldn't.
Well, if you put some first downs together.
Well, they couldn't run the ball, Jeff.
You could run the ball more times and have better numbers. But, I mean, the problem is that the Tennessee defense did a great job. They did a great job. They stifled the Jaguars' offense. And look, it wasn't like that. It was, you know, big plays that they made. I mean, I thought the Tennessee Titans, they owned the Jaguars' offense in that game. They did.
Oh, no, I agree with you. That's my point. That's the concern. I think the run game has been a concern the second half of the season.
The run game is not what you're using for the most part on third down. It takes the pressure off of third down, but – you know, because it's like the argument is, you know, okay, does the run game come, you know, when you're, you know, is it the reason why you're moving the chains and having great productivity? Or is it you're moving the chains, throwing the football, making big plays, scoring points, and then towards the end of the game you're more comfortable running the football and therefore your numbers are better?
Well, this team has been the first. That's what this team has been.
Yes.
That's what we said the formula for them to win is great defense, run the ball, good special teams. The run game has been inconsistent, and you haven't seen the big runs in the run game. And that's what great run teams do. They hit you for 2, 3, 5, 7, 5, 15, 5, 4, 20. I mean, that's where you get those big runs. That's where you get the yards per carry up where it should be if you're a good running team. And right now, this Jaguar offense is not running the ball well. It's just, I mean, it's, I should say this. Let me say it differently. It is not running the ball like the number one rush team in the NFL. It is running it okay. And I think that's an issue coming into the playoffs.
And, you know, look, the passing game depends on it because of the play action. And, look, if you hit a couple of those plays in the game.
Maybe it changes it.
You know, maybe it changes. You know, the D.D. Westbrook across the middle, the D.D. Westbrook going down, drops a touchdown pass.
Short arm across the middle was.
Yeah, and you know what? I, after going back and looking at that play on the film, I don't think it was necessarily a short arm as it was. It went right between his arms. I mean, literally. I mean, like,
drop then.
Between his arms. Hmm. You know, so whether it's a short arm or whether it's a poor catch, the end result is all that matters. It wasn't caught, and it should have been caught. He had plenty of opportunity to catch that ball. You know, so maybe things are different when you have those type of plays occur. And also, Blake Bortles has to be better. The interception, the first interception that he had, it was cover two man, safety's over the top.
Under pressure.
You don't even look in that direction. You know, right when the ball is snapped, that's not an option to throw it there. And your eyes should immediately go to somewhere else, somewhere underneath. And it was a poor decision, poorly thrown ball. And that's what happens in that instance. And here's the thing. The moment that happens with Blake seems to be common. You know, late in the game, scores tight, you know, and this is where he needs to rise up and make a play. You know, because we really haven't seen that yet, and he's been as good as Blake has been in the month of December. Those are the moments that you've got to thrive in. And I'm not saying you have to own them all. But I mean, the first you go to another drive later in the game. It was, I think it was right after the interception or before the interception. First play that he had, it was an incomplete pass. Then he took a sack on second down. Tony, I don't know if you remember, that was one he drifted out of the pocket, and he actually sacked himself.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a five-point game. Five-point game, plenty of time on the clock. I mean, those are when, as a quarterback, are defining moments, and you need to define them in a positive fashion. That's the next step for Blake. I mean, if this team has a lead, front running, playing good defense, running the football, you know, they're fine. But if they have to play from a little bit behind late in the game, that's where Blake needs to take the next step.
Yeah, that's the next step, not just for this team, but for his development as a quarterback. I mean, that's the one thing missing, one box he hasn't checked yet.
Well, and it's something you're going to – and we'll talk about this after the season. Hopefully it's not for about four more weeks. But that's something you got to evaluate. And that's why – and I was asked on several interviews today, what what about Blake Bortles? That was the question. You know, is he – can he do it? And I think the big question – and what do they do with him next year? The evaluation process continues in the playoffs, and I think these are big moments and big opportunities for Blake – because the narrative to this point in the fourth quarter, when it counts the most and when the pressure is on and when you're behind, it has not gone well. I mean, I can't think of when it's gone well this year in that situation where you had to cut, where the quarterback had to make a play.
It hasn't. And here's the other thing. You know, like when you're in school, okay? You know, we actually studied.
Tony didn't go to school, okay? Actually.
No, Tony studied, yep. Okay?
I didn't go to Alabama like you.
Let's say
you're all academic.
You're taking a class.
I forgot about that.
Quizzes are worth, let's say, 20%. Right. Okay. Homework is worth 30%. And then the exams are worth whatever the remaining percentage is, a higher number.
60%.
Okay.
That's a math guy over here. Yeah.
You know, when the evaluation comes of players, I mean, the performance in key moments in playoff situations, I mean, now you're all of a sudden this is more
final
important.
Exam.
It's like the final exam, okay? You know, so you know, and I don't want to get, you know, this is also a great conversation for after the season because you would want to enjoy the moment the Jaguars are in the playoffs. But I mean, this is a moment that Blake is going to be evaluated, And every player on this roster gets evaluated. The process for that never ends, and the importance of the evaluation, I think, grows in the playoffs because you want to have players that when it comes to big moments, they can rise to the occasion or meet the same level of play that they have in a normal situation.
But Jeff's right. I want to go back to the run game real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we?
Yeah.
Can we get Corey Grant out there? Can we change the pace at all? I mean, Grant.
Just Grant.
Yeah, I want Grant in the backfield.
Not TJ.
Number one, if you go look at the pure numbers over the last probably 4 weeks, they're inflated, especially like the Houston game. Jacksonville did not run the ball well against Houston until the end. And it was Corey Grant who ran the ball well. Outside of the Indianapolis game, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, that's the last time as a team they really rushed it well within the flow of a game.
About right.
Now, they had some nice runs at the end of Seattle to seal it. The big run off left tackle by Fournette.
Yep.
You got to change it up. You can't keep on doing – I don't think it's not effective right now. It's not working. It's not going to – I would get Corey Grant more reps. He's like quickness.
See him just used in some fashion.
Can you do that now, though?
Yes.
Shouldn't you have done that in the regular season?
Well, yeah, you should have done it, in my opinion, but you can still do it now. It's not too late.
Okay.
Yeah, and look, I'm not – and I don't think Tony's saying this either. We're not looking to see him, okay, get 10 carries in a game and Fournette's carries go down to 15 or 13 or something like that.
Well, first of all, I think this team's best when it has 40 carries. They should have – if you want this – if this team wants to go to the Super Bowl that we've talked about, they need to have 40 carries a game. That's the type of team that they need to be.
And you got to put drives together to get to that point.
Right, sure.
And but maybe a lead. That'd be
I
nice.
Would just like to see some place for Corey just because he's got great speed. You know, doesn't have to be as a running back. It can be as on the field at the same time with Leonard Fournette and he splits out or something just to see what he can do. I mean, he's got great speed.
He's fast. Yeah.
Super fast, you know, so. I don't know. Maybe they've been saving him for the playoffs.
I doubt it.
Putting him on ice.
Yeah, you never know.
I like it.
No, I don't think so.
Why not? Hey, roll him out there now. Let's go. Bills are coming to town.
Okay, over under on how many carries he gets before it's a blowout.
I don't know. Over under would be like 8.5. I'm going under.
No, over under 0. He will have 0 carries in the course of the game when it matters.
When it matters, really.
Mm.
Wow.
I'd like to see him see the ball a little bit.
Well, you guess how many he had against Tennessee.
But here's the thing. If Fournette is ripping it.
0.
It's okay. I don't need to see Corey Grant.
I thought he had one. No, Grant didn't have any.
No.
Yeah, TJ had one.
But when's the last time Leonard Fournette ripped it?
A little bit.
Seattle game was a good game.
But it wasn't ripped it on Seattle? Wait a second.
The clinching
run. Tell me the last time. No. Okay. That was a gate. Nothing against Leonard Fournette. It was a gaping hole off left tackle. There was no. He didn't make any cuts. He didn't make any. Yeah. You know anything? He ran off tackle because there was a great, very well blocked, and he had explosiveness. There's no doubt about that. But when's the last time? Tell me when the last time we had one of these ripping it games.
He ripped it for 25 and ran over guys and all that. Yeah. I don't know.
It's been a while. I mean, there was, like I said, there were some signs last week. You know, the one play that kind of comes to mind is that, you know, he took it down the sideline. He lowered his shoulder against the safety, I believe it was. And you haven't seen him do that in a while.
I think it was Adoree Jackson.
Either one.
Well, they lost, whoever it was.
Well, I hope so. Adoree Jackson's like 185 pounds.
He's a good player, by the way.
Very good player.
He has like so. He had like over, I think over 2,000. By the way, I didn't mention this during the broadcast, but he has had like over 2,000 snaps or something crazy, because of the number of snaps that he takes for the Titans on defense, special teams, and he also had like 12 snaps on offense for the Titans. Now he's marvelous first round pick for Tennessee, by the way.
Great Jackson.
Player, yeah, excellent player.
We'll come back and get into Jaguars fever around Jacksonville. There's a pep rally tomorrow.
Is that what I got?
That might be what you have.
Is I got Jaguars fever? Is that what I got?
That's why you're a little.
Why my nose is running a little bit.
I got it too.
It's going around.
I'm hoping I lose this Jaguar fever before the pep rally. I want to get out there.
PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Treat it normal. Go through the week normal. The routine and everything will stay the same. And then when you get the opportunity, you know, it's obviously, I think, going to feel a little different. You know, playing a playoff game in Jacksonville, I think, hasn't happened in a while. So to have that opportunity to play in front of our fans in our city and our stadium, I think is awesome. You know, so I think that the emotions and the energy in the stadium will probably be a little heightened. But I think as far as what happens between the lines, you know, I'd imagine it's similar. It's probably, you know, maybe a little amped up a little bit. You know, I think everybody kind of realizes that, you know, it's your last chance. You lose, you go home, it's over. So there's no reason or no excuse to not play as hard as you can every single play.
There's Blake Bortles, your quarterback. The AFC Wildcard playoff game coming up Sunday at Everbank Field, presented by Firehouse Subs, the Jags, and the Buffalo Bills. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and Jeff Loggeman. Yes, Tony,
so,
hello.
I know you got a tweet that, you know, we're being negative, or I'm being negative.
No, not we.
Or me.
You.
It's not being me.
No,
negative.
Not we.
I think we're going to win this week, number one.
Okay.
I've said it all week. What I'm talking about, and I think Jeff would agree, if this team wants to make a playoff run, they have to go back to running the ball like they did in the beginning, in the first half of the season, where they were dominating at times, where they imposed their will. So now, if you just want to make a nice little playoff run and win a game and go home, okay, that's fine. I'm not saying it's a bad running team right now. I'm not saying they're terrible. I'm just saying if anyone can tell me they look like the number one rushing team the last 4 to 6 weeks in the NFL, I would disagree with that.
Yeah,
the capability's there, and if they want to make a run, and I've said it from week probably 9, JP, or 10 on Monday night.
Yeah.
This team can win it all if they play great defense, like they're capable of, and run the ball at a high level and be a dominant running team, which they've shown as well in this year.
If they win this week, they go to Pittsburgh. Do you think they won't have that output they had in Pittsburgh running the ball week 5? I mean, early in the season, or could they?
Well, the one thing they won't have is they won't get 5 picks. Ben's not going to throw 5 time picks.
Why not?
Because he won't.
Well, why not?
Because it doesn't happen like that. But you can't run like that because running you can control.
But are you confident this group can do that right now?
After what they've
shown recently.
Confident, I don't know. Hopeful, yes.
Part of the reason why, too, is the way that game went was why the offense ran the ball so effectively.
Yeah.
And how the tempo of the game went allowed you to keep doing that.
They ran it 13 times on one drive, God's sake.
Because you had the lead and your defense was just crushing them.
Yeah.
You know, so you were like, we're just going to run it. They can't do anything against our defense.
Might as well.
You know, so you got to have, you know, the opportunity to be like that. And yes, Tony is being kind of downer Debbie, but at the same token, I know what you're talking about. I mean, if this team, you know, because a couple weeks ago when this defense was lights out, okay, and this team was still running the ball fairly effectively, and I said it, look, this team's a contender. And if you want to contend, which is why you get in the tournament, you don't get in the tournament just to be happy, just to be in the tournament. You want to contend. But if they want to contend, they need to be what they are, what they were designed to be, which is what Tony's talking about. Being a team that can run the ball at will, okay? Find some explosive plays in the passing game off of that run action, play action, and playing dominant defense. Then, yes, you're not being happy just to be there. You're talking about being happy because this team has a legitimate opportunity to be a contender. And that's where you want – that's the traits that you want to see this team show against Buffalo, because that is what they have to show if they want to have an opportunity at playing in Minneapolis.
Yeah, they're not gonna win playoff games rushing for under 100 yards. No two ways about it.
Got to get better.
They're not going to. They lost to a Tennessee team that's not very good.
They weren't very good on offense in that game.
No.
Oh, terrible.
And you needed to find a way to put more points up than you did. I mean, look, that's a good run defense. They've always been good against
the run. That's a good
run
defense, without a doubt.
But you should have found –
if you're the best running offense,
you go beat them.
I'm not saying you rush for 150, but you rush for 115, 120, and you
kind of take over the game as it goes on. Right, yeah, sure. Tomorrow, fans invited downtown for a Jags pep rally. Mayor Lenny Curry putting on the Bills Bustin' Bash at Daly's Place.
The what?
The Bills Bustin' Bash at Daly's Place.
Wow, that's a tongue twister.
Yes. Register at jaguars.com/mayorsbash for free admission. We'll start at 5 o'clock. Gates open at 4 o'clock. So Mayor Curry, owner Shad Khan will be there. Roar of the Jaguars, the D-line, you two guys, bunch of alumni players coming out to sign some autographs. Should be fun.
Should be good. I heard that a number of alumni guys are coming in for the playoff game.
Oh, that's right, the 99 team.
Yeah, so that's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. I know some of the guys are going to be out there signing autographs at the pep rally, and be exciting. You know, it's going to be an exciting weekend, all weekend.
It's always a fun week anyway, already.
Man, I'm going to wake up on Sunday morning. I'm going to be so excited.
What is?
I might be here at 7:30.
Well, this week is just the ready playoff week, you know, the whole thing.
Playoffs are awesome.
Yeah.
I just was wondering, are you speaking from experience?
Cause I don't think I'm just saying this before. Is pretty cool.
This has been cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, this is the first one.
It's great. There's nothing better than playoffs.
No. The feeling of the playoffs is you just got a little extra in you.
You don't mind practicing. You don't mind meeting. You don't mind doing anything.
No.
Can we just play the game, though? Can we just get to Sunday?
No.
Right, no, you got to enjoy the whole thing, JP.
Do I?
It's all part of it. Tomorrow's a part of it. Preparation-wise, you need it, but the pep rally for the city, I mean, that's going
to
be fun.
Just bring your A game to the pep rally, Shadrick.
Are you emceeing it?
I am.
Oh, my goodness.
What is that supposed to mean?
Don't choke.
Just
what are you talking about? Ooh.
Like when you introduce.
Hope you have a voice tomorrow.
When you introduce the Bills, don't get so excited like you did when the Titans intercepted the ball on Sunday.
Wow! How about that? Jeez! Oh my goodness!
Harsh.
So come see us tomorrow. 4 o'clock. Gates open. Tony Boselli will be there. Hall of Fame finalist. Yes,
thank you, JP.
Will be there as well. Also, watch out for the Grassroots Rolling Tour this week. They're going around to Dunkin' Donuts locations, Firehouse Subs locations, and if you're wearing Jags garb and you see them, they might buy you lunch. Tomorrow night, they'll be at the bars at Jack's Beach buying you Bud Light if you're wearing Jags gear. So keep an eye out.
So you'll be. I know JP.
I know JP will be tomorrow night. Yes, with all the Jags gear I own. No, so check them out tomorrow night. Out at the beach. So, fun week. Hey, what's your gut here? Are you going to win this game?
Oh, I think the Jags win by 2 touchdowns. I don't think it's close in the fourth quarter. I think they run away with it.
I don't think it's a runaway, but I think it's a very confirming win. In other words, when they get the lead, there's never any nervous moments, after that happens. Now, when they get that lead,
I don't think there's ever a nervous moment in the football game. I think after the kickoff. Like midway through the first quarter, you'd be like, all right, this one's over.
You just got to find a way to make sure that you don't make a mistake early on.
It's the only way you're going to lose.
Yeah. Turn it over or do something like that.
Yeah, as long as you protect the football early on this game, you'll be fine.
No, they're going to win. I think they're going to play a good game, and I think what will be good about it is they'll get some confidence and get the thing rolling a little bit. After 2 losses going into Pittsburgh, then that will be fun because that will be a tough game, and that will be a
very
great matchup, and that will be a close game, and that will go down to the wire, and it will be a lot of fun. Got to win this one first, and we can get ahead of ourselves because we're not playing, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, they're not worried about that. I think they win easily, and I think we're talking about Pittsburgh and how much fun it's going to be up to go up to Three Rivers and be the second team in the history of the NFL to beat them twice in the same season up there.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Jaguars in 2007 being the first.
Love it. We'll come back with more. We'll have picks. Yes, playoff picks. We'll see where you guys ended up this week and for the regular season.
Good.
So what are they worth? Playoffs, 2 points. The first round, wild cards, they're double, right? Yeah, we'll go double.
You need that.
I don't need that.
Yeah, you do.
I'm one back.
You need that.
I do. I need it.
You really need it. Yeah. Experience Everbank Field in an entirely new way on a fully guided behind-the-scenes private tour. See for yourself why the Travel Channel included Everbank Field on the list of bucket list destinations for football fans. Visit Jaguars.com for more info. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Final moments, Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Logan, and Tony Boselli. The AFC wildcard playoff game coming up Sunday, a 1:05 kickoff time at Everbank Field for the Buffalo Bills, the 6th seed, and the Jacksonville Jaguars, the 3 seed. The other wildcard game is Titans at Chiefs, by the way. We'll get to picks coming up, so relax.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm just previewing the whole weekend.
I am so focused in on these picks because they're going to be worth double.
Yeah.
You need
to be. Yeah.
Okay.
They are worth double.
You need to be. By the way, before we get to the picks and all that, New England has the week off, of course.
Thank you.
There's a blizzard in New England right now.
I saw pictures.
Did you see the video of them running to their practice facility today?
Mm-hmm.
They
did.
Made them all come to work.
I did. There's a blizzard in New York, too.
What do you mean made them all come to work?
In New York City, they're worried about
They closed all the roads. Everything was closed down.
Jeff in Manhattan, it's like snowing like 8, 9, 10, something crazy. They're worried about the train shutting down.
Really?
So much
snow. No, it's bad. Like it's the governor of Connecticut said, don't leave your house.
Well, here's the thing. Where their facility is at, there's a mall right there that has two hotels.
Stay at the mall.
Okay, they can stay at the hotels at the mall and then like walk to the facility.
True.
You know, so, you know. Not a big deal, okay?
Got a job to do. Go to your job.
The NFL is you report to work, period. Doesn't
JP,
matter.
I don't know
holidays,
what kind of
weather.
I didn't say
you
that.
Know, JP,
I thought it was a funny video seeing them walk through the snow with pads on
not
and a blizzard blowing
you know,
around.
We don't see that in Florida
every day.
It's a world that you probably aren't used to. Jeff and I, you go to work. You show up every day regardless of how you feel. Whether it's a holiday or not, I know in your world, when you don't feel good, you stay home.
No, when was
and
that?
When you know, when there's holidays, you don't come to work. We just, you know,
What are you talking about?
You look for ways not to come to work. As an ex-player, we look for reasons.
Is that true?
To be at work.
Is that true?
So it's a different mentality. Nothing against you. It's okay.
I don't know where this is coming from.
I'm
here every day.
I'm just here listening to you
every
guys
day.
Banter, that's all.
I mean, what do we do? You get in the finals one more time, and you get to throwing shots.
I'm just kind of surprised you are kind of making it like it's a really big
thank
deal
you.
That they're walking
so Jeff agrees.
Snow.
Thought it was interesting.
Let's move on. Listen, it's a different mentality. You have have to work. We want to work.
I am kind of surprised at that. I mean, we've got an executive producer of radio who, you know, has had two back surgeries and is reported to work every day.
He's more like a player. You're not. Maybe one day you can get there, JP.
He doesn't seem surprised about the players walking through a little bit of snow flurries to go to an indoor facility where they're out of the weather. Oh, no, I've got to walk 75 yards to get into this climate-controlled environment. Oh, poor guys.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You're better off moving on, JP.
Next. all right. Let's get to these stupid picks before we get off the show here. Let's first start off with the results from last week. And, yes, Tony, you and I were 9-7.
Dang it.
Logs was 8-8. So,
I was looking for desperation.
So, the regular season championship goes to yours truly. 152-88. Baselli, game back.
There's no regular season.
Logaman, 145-95. We're making championship rings over here for the regular season championship. So,
Let me ask you a question. In what sport is the regular season champion actually celebrated?
College basketball?
Not really.
Yes?
No.
Yes, they are.
By who?
By who?
In like college basketball teams win the regular season, they get rings.
What are they
not the tournament championship of they get that too.
Okay, would they rather win the regular season or would they rather win the tournament?
The conference tournament?
No, tournament.
Well,
JP.
You win the tournament.
There's
sure.
one tournament.
I'm just saying.
There's one
season.
Champion.
There's
yes,
one championship.
I get that.
And it's not you right now. So
I'm talking
shut
about
up
conference.
So stop celebrating a regular
this
season.
This conference,
victory.
I won this conference. Again, Jeff, regular season
it's a non-athlete
title.
Mentality.
I'm just saying.
Looking for any scrapping get. You and I want to go for the big prize.
Where's your Cotton Bowl ring? Did you get one of those, Tony?
Nope.
Okay, I didn't think so. That's right.
I didn't want one. It wasn't the big.
Well, they
gave
out watches back then.
Well, I didn't want
probably,
that either.
Way back.
I wanted a champ. I wanted to win it all.
I've got my All American Bowl watch. Somewhere.
Awesome. Yeah. See, you participated. Congratulations.
That's what it was.
Participation
trophy. Thank you very much.
All right. So results this week count double for the wild card playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start on Saturday, 4:35, Arrowhead Stadium. The Titans and the Chiefs. Last place goes first in the playoffs.
No, it's not true.
Yes, it does. I made the rule.
No, first place goes first. Go ahead, JP.
Give me the Chiefs at home. No doubt about that.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs started off as the best team in football this year, went through a lull, and then finished the season as hot as anybody. Now, their defense isn't great, so if the Titans can line up with Derrick Henry and run it 45 times and control the clock, they have a chance. I just don't think they can score enough to keep up with the Chiefs.
Chiefs defense is off. But, man, they're at home. I'm taking the Chiefs.
It's loud. It'll be chilly. And they got playmakers.
That's a great environment.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a great environment.
No doubt. So, all right, we all three have Kansas City. The primetime game Saturday, 8:15 kickoff in the NFC wildcard matchup, the Falcons at the Rams.
Interesting game here.
Yes, indeed it is. The Falcons.
What do you got there, JP?
The Falcons. I got the Rams. I got the Rams at home.
Yeah, why not? I think it's going to be a very good game. I think it is a very interesting game. You got a young football team, young head coach, Sean McVay, but Jared Goff is the one that worries me more than anything. But they have the best running back in all football, Todd Gurley. With that said, I think Atlanta wins. I think Atlanta has won three out of the last four when they had to win. They've been in this situation before. Their defense is playing much better than last year. I mean, the defense is a top 10 defense. And you got to believe Julio Jones, and they're going to get it going here. Devontae Freeman's run the ball well to finish out the season. I think Atlanta's going to be dangerous, and I think they beat the Rams.
I think the Rams are going to win. I think they've got a young head coach playing carefree. They're at home. And
all 30,000 people there will enjoy.
That's okay.
No, it's a different stadium.
I'm just saying. Like, no, it's still the Rams.
90,000.
It won't be 90,000
yeah,
in the playoff. Really?
Oh, yeah, it will be.
What have they had for the regular season average?
About 70,
for the Rams?
65.
40, 55.
No, I thought that was over 65.
Early on, I think it was pretty sparse.
Yeah.
It's got the batteries that gone
on. Here's the thing. When there's a playoff game in L.A.,
it'll be 90.
Rock and roll.
Okay.
Front run city.
That makes sense.
Rams.
We all, of course.
No, I got Atlanta.
He picked Atlanta.
You picked Atlanta.
I was saying for the next game
we're all getting the Jags the next game, right?
You sure you're picking the Jags?
Yes, I am. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, Jags.
The big test will be for you next week.
Jags. Stop it. Jags.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so Sunday, 4:40, the NFC wildcard game. The Panthers at the Superdome against the Saints.
Saints beat them twice already, JP.
They're going to beat them a third time, too. Saints.
So you're taking all the home teams, basically.
So?
I'm saying that's typically doesn't work that way, but that's fine.
I'm just saying, I am. New Orleans at home.
I got the Saints, too, because Alvin Kamara is the rookie of the year, in my opinion.
Great player.
I know Kareem Hunt had more yards from scrimmage, more rushing yards. He won the rush. Kareem Hunt, Kansas City, won the rushing title for as a rookie, only the second time in the last 33 years a rookie has won the rushing title. That can't be right, because didn't Ezekiel Elliott win it last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that's not right.
Just making it up.
Anyways, I made
just
that
tell
up.
Us whatever you
my
want to tell
My point of saying
us.
This
yeah,
is,
go ahead.
Even though Kareem Hunt was the rushing title, had the rushing title this year, I think Alvin Kamara has been the best rookie offensively.
Well, he's been
outstanding.
After 5 weeks of the season, though, you said that Hunt was the man.
I'd agree. But if you look at the team, Drew Brees is one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the game. He's third tier on the Saints now. It's about their running game between Ingram and Kamara, their defense, which is greatly improved, and then Drew Brees. And so because of that, they're one of the two teams that, for me, that'll go to the Super Bowl. It'll either be them or the Vikings, and they'll win.
Wow.
Huh.
Logs.
I got Saints.
Okay.
They're at home, you know, and look, Drew Brees has been there, done that. So has Cam Newton. He's been to a Super Bowl, too. But they're off offensively. They're off, and they just got too many weapons, I think the Saints do on offense, that the Carolina defense, as good as they are, that's a tough task.
All right, the results are in. I've got KC, the Rams, Jags, and the Saints. Logs, you have the exact same four. Baselli has
Atlanta. You're going to really gain ground there, Logs.
Yeah.
Well,
Baselli has Atlanta instead of the Rams.
What am I going to do, pick the Titans? No.
Atlanta?
No, they're not going to win. Gotta
take some chances.
No, the Rams are good, man. The Rams are good.
It's Hail Mary time for you.
And then you know what the Falcons are going to do? They're going to screw it up.
I don't think so. I think they win.
They won't have the play calling they had last time in the Super Bowl.
Well, you know what, though? They haven't had that good a play calling this year either because their offense has gone downhill. You know, and there's still a little hangover working there now. Mm. Quite a bit.
You don't think so, Tom? Huh?
No, I think they win. I want the Rams to win. My buddy's the assistant head coach there, my root college roommate. I mean, I'm rooting hard for the Rams. I want the Rams to win. Make no mistake about it, I will have Ram pom-poms out if I owned any. But I just think the Falcons will win.
Yeah, the Rams, you know, and as much as we all talk about Gurley, they have so many weapons on offense.
Well, what about defense? I mean, best defensive player maybe in the league, Aaron Donald.
Really good. Really good on offense. And quarterback is young and he's playing well. And got a very experienced coach in Wade Phillips. I don't think they lose.
There you have it. Picks are in for Wild Card Weekend. Final thoughts here about the Jags and the Bills coming up this Sunday, the AFC Wild Card playoff game, 105 kick. We all picked the Jags, and it's like 23-26-7 is kind of the, at least my feel of this thing.
You think what?
23 or 26-7, something like that, you know? Mid-20s to single digits.
31-10.
No, I don't think they can score 31 points.
31-10.
How are they going to score 10?
Who?
The Bills, the team they're playing.
Late.
I'm thinking like 20.
Might be 31-3.
20-10.
No, it's not going to be that close.
But it will feel comfortable. You know, 20-10, 23-10, probably 20-10.
It'll be a game they run away with.
I like it.
I hope so.
Yeah, that'd be real nice.
I hope so because it'll be a nice little party here at Everbank.
Long time coming, too. 99 season, last home playoff game, and then the last playoff team, 07.
And then what we need to be doing is so we can get another home playoff game is we need to be rooting for the Chiefs.
Yes.
Chiefs win.
You think they can beat New England?
Yeah, they beat. They went in their opening night and beat the hell out of them.
I know.
I was there for it. Yes, they can beat New England. First of all, they're not afraid. A couple years ago, they beat the hell out of them. That group doesn't think anything of New England.
Right. You root for – it doesn't really matter. You root whoever – root for Kansas City because can beat New England.
But if you want the AFC Championship
Kansas City to win out,
right.
Us to win out, and we play here for the AFC
You could root for the Titans,
mark it
too.
In the calendar right now.
You put it down. Is it a lock?
No, but the Titans are not going to New England and winning.
No, they're not.
They're not going to Kansas City and winning.
No, they're not.
No. Not with the way Kansas City's playing.
It's a four-team race right now for the in the AFC.
Top two seeds, and then 1, 2, 3, 4. There you go.
Top four seeds. Where in the NFC, it's wide open.
Anybody's race.
Yeah, because of the quarterback. And also because of the running back. I would agree with that.
NFC.
Minnesota's playing good, though, now. They're good.
I think Minnesota's going and is going to be the first home team Super Bowl ever. I think they're the best complete team. But I can make an argument for Carolina, Cam Newton. That group gets hot, and you can make an argument for Atlanta, the Rams. We just talked about; they're very good. New Orleans, obviously, and you know the Eagles. You know you worry about Nick Foles, but that defense, man, they got some guys.
Good
to go.
Hey, look, Nick Foles can get hot.
That's exactly right. So that's why the NFC I think is wide open. I mean, who knows?
You don't like Nick Foles.
Is he going to do it again?
You don't like Nick Foles? Why?
I didn't say I didn't like him.
I can tell by your body language. You don't like Nick Foles.
I don't think he's going to get hot again.
Hey, well, let me ask you a question.
No offense. I'm sure he's a
nice
guy. I've never met him.
How much time do we have?
A couple minutes, yeah.
If Alabama wins the national title, will there be an asterisk next to it because really UCF is the only undefeated team and beat the SEC West
team.
You
can put the asterisk wherever you want. The trophy would be in Tuscaloosa, though.
I was asking, would there be an asterisk next to it?
I'm just saying. So there's that.
Great year for UCF. They didn't even win their division, so I'm just wondering how
that's
they got the national title.
No, you're right. Yeah. They got voted in. That's how it
– That's why, yeah. That's why that's that system stinks, and the system in the NFL
it's the best.
Is the best.
Well, guess what? The system begins this Sunday.
And I can't
wait.
I cannot wait.
For
this weekend.
Yes. It's fun. Playoff football. Everbank Field, sold-out house. Over 69,000 will be here for the Bills and the Jags. The get-in price, by the way, on StubHub has gone down as the day has gone on. $170 for a standing room ticket now on StubHub.
Okay.
It was over about $250 a few days ago.
That's usually happens.
Still a hot ticket.
Still hot. Hot ticket. The hottest ticket.
Hot potato.
Hottest ticket in town. Shad Khan promised that a few years ago.
By the way, for Jaguar fans, an interesting article that was done by ESPN that just came out just a few moments ago in an interview with Shad Khan, and he talks about the hiring of Tom Coughlin and the impact that it had, and also he talks about the playoff and the hot ticket here in Jacksonville. So check it out, folks. It was on ESPN. I'm not sure if it was done by their guys, but they carried it.
Yeah, and Chuck Conn was speaking with the media today. All the local media outlets will have interviews with the owner, and you'll probably hear it with Mike Dempsey tomorrow on Jaguars Today. And we're scheduled to have him on the Public's Tailgate Show on Sunday.
All right.
That's awesome.
Countdown to kickoff. All right, guys, let's get to it. Playoff football. Tony, we'll talk to you.
All right, I can't wait, guys.
Logs, get well.
I'm good.
I like
ready.
It. Ready. Playoffs are here. For our entire crew, I'm JP Shadrick. Thanks for listening. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.